Dublin's best city, where the girls are so pretty. I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone, as she wheeled a wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, singing pasties from Cornwall and Plymouth Argyle.
Well, hello and good evening and welcome to the second Plymouth Argyle podcast. This is Jim from theoffside.com, sitting here with a touch of vertigo. We were up to fifth at, you know, the end of February, and this is uncharted territory for all us pilgrims, really. The last time we were this high in the league as a whole, 1987, which was the first year of the playoffs, and we just missed out. We came seventh, I think, having been, you know, in the top three or four for a good chunk of the season under, you know, Super Cyberman Dave Smith. Years of Tommy Tynan's goals and Gary Nelson and Summerfield and, oh, household names from Halcyon days. But here we are, February the 29th, up to fifth, and really off the back of not a great performance, it has to be said, against the Clarets. I was sat there with a friend of mine and really for long periods sucking our teeth a bit. And certainly the first half we started slowly. You know, they looked a bit leaden when they came out of the blocks and went in front thanks to one of the most awful rickets I've seen in the flesh for quite some time. And it's all my fault. I take full responsibility, if there are any Clarets fans listening, for our opening goal. I just said to Danny, my mate, I really, 2 seconds before, I said to him, he always has a cracking game against us, Brian Jensen. There was Nallis from the nod out from Caldwell, letting fly with a volley. And I said volley there, didn't I? I meant volley. I did mean volley. Hit it on the volley. And Jensen had his full body behind it. Nice straightforward catch, and it squirmed both through his arms and through his legs. It was just shocking. And you know, he sat in the goal for a full 30 seconds holding his head, and I really don't blame him, poor lad. Did redeem himself later on, but it really was no surprise when Burnley got back into the game. Wade Elliott was probably the best player on the pitch all game, I've got to say. Little, quick, it's just a darn nuisance, do you know? He was snapping away, and he gave Gary Sawyer twisted blood. He really did run him ragged all afternoon. And it was he got down the right, took advantage of again, a little bit too much space that he'd been afforded. Slung over an excellent cross, and Kyle Lafferty, you know, the big, lanky striker, he was rumoured to be on a way to Celtic for a while, but that never materialised. Anyway, it was his nod down, and there was O'Connor, who also had a really good game for Burnley. James O'Connor nodded it in, one all after 19 minutes, and it was all looking a bit grim at the back of the grandstand, I've got to say. Stuart and Bob were really having a bit of a chunter, and yeah, it wasn't looking fantastic. But, you know, gradually we started to get back into it. And Jermaine Easter running his socks off, making the Burnley back four, you know, puff and blow a bit. And we had this spell when we scored about 10 minutes before half time, and it looked as though the chance had gone. First Nallis, and then Abdu, and then Easter trying to get a shot in and either delaying or getting it blocked, and it squirted out to Helmers. Gorgeous, gorgeous flick from McLean. You know, he really hadn't had a lot of room all afternoon. He was involved in a titanic struggle with Joey Goodjohnson, their sitting midfielder. But he played this just simple, exquisite little flick on the edge of the box. Played Helmers, and he had one dig at it, and came straight back to him on the second attempt. Smashed it in from a fairly tight angle past Jensen, and there it was, 2-1. Really should have been 3-1 at half time. My goodness me. I said last week, I think, that what Jermaine Easter really needed was a goal, and he really should have had one just in the first minute of stoppage time at the end of the first half. Clean through, one on one, not a defender in sight. Really well timed run from Easter, bearing in on Jensen. It was almost as though he had too much time, you know. wasn't going to, sure, should he shoot, should he go round it, which way should he go, and Jensen made himself big. He went for the shot in the end, and it was a good save from the big Dane, but I think he would have been better advised to take it round him and slot it into the net. And yeah, you could see that the shoulders slump a bit. And as we came off, we thought, momentum's gone a little bit. This is going to be a really, really tough second half. And it was. You know, Burnley came out and Coyle had obviously got them really fired up. And they threw absolutely everything at us. Really. Hammer, tongs, kitchen sink, the works. And, you know, we were hanging on by our fingertips a little bit. Elliot again causing all sorts of problems down the right-hand side. Robbie Blake making a nuisance of himself. And I say, big Carl Lafferty involved in really quite a titanic struggle with new boy Russell Anderson, who looked good but not fit. I got to say that he clearly his brain was working, clearly he was strong, but he was perhaps half a yard off the pace, and that started to tell towards the end of the game. But gradually, again, as in the first half, Argyle got themselves back into the game. Another couple of great chances, one for Easter again, not as good as the one at the end of the first half, but again he was through and shot, and a good save from Jensen. And just before Gary Teal came off, he had a shot that Jensen did really well to tip away for a corner. But again, on came super sub, Jamie Mackey bouncing all over the shop, causing them no end of problems, and we got a third, Peter Halmosi chasing a ball down out on the right-hand side for a change, come from a set-piece, picked it up, left the full-back on his backside, exquisite shot, really strong shot into the corner, and that was kind of that, really. Burnley heads went down, and you thought, are we going to get four? Are we going to get four for the first time since March 2005? It wasn't to be, but we were pretty comfortable by the end of the game, but my goodness, we knew we'd been in a battle. One thing, though, is that we created really most of the chances, the clear-cut shots on goal. Burnley, you know, they'd had one from Christmas Can that fizzed past the upright, and across from Elliot again that Lafferty was just inches away from. But that was about it in terms of actual chances and shots on goal. But further, the rest of it, they had a lot of possession and a lot of skill. Caused us a lot of nervous moments, but that was that. So there we are, up to fifth, thanks to Stoke beating Ipswich and Charlton coming a dreadful cropper at Blackpool. And it's all looking, you know, really rather exciting. Got a massive game on Saturday up at the Hawthorns, West Brom. Four on the bounce, so you think we must be due a reverse. And West Brom beaten as well on Saturday, losing at home to Hull, I should say. And just what's happened with them? When they came down in November, Luggy's first match, they looked absolutely nailed on. But they've dropped points here, dropped points there. Their invincible home form's taken quite a bit of a wobble. And, I mean, my head says to me, you know, a point would be a fantastic result. And yet you think, well, you know, are they on a wobble? Is this, again, a place where we could have one of those massive, massive away performances, of which there have been so many this season? Watford, Charlton, Leicester. I've done so at Sheffield United. You've done so fantastically well away from home that, you know, you wouldn't want to rule anything out. What I will say, though, is it's a crazy, crazy fall. And we've got five games in a fortnight now. 15 points. We're on 52. I reckon for the playoffs we're going to need 74. So that's another 22 points. 15 of them up for grabs in the next fortnight. If we were to get, say, 9, 10, you'd have to think that we were serious, serious contenders. Equally, if we stumble. And they're interesting games as well. We've got West Brom, as I said, away on Saturday. Tuesday night, Colchester at home. Colchester right down there, fighting for their lives. It could be a bit spicy. Following Saturday, Sheffield United at home. Just got Blackwell in, the new manager. But really didn't look very good at all in the cup replay yesterday against Middlesbrough. Not a lot of creativity there. Are they struggling to get to grips with Blackwell's style as opposed to Captain Marvel? Who I don't think any Blades fan was sorry to see the back off. So that's on the 8th, that's Saturday week at home. And then again at the 11th, that Tuesday, away to Scunthorpe. And again, Scunthorpe, like Colchester, right in the middle of it, biting and scratching for every point in the desperate attempt to have another season at this level. They're obviously in their debut season at the Championship, Scunthorpe. And, you know, Nigel Adkins Smart guy, enthusiastic guy. Is there enough about Scunthorpe to keep them up? I wonder. And then on the 15th, my goodness me, the game of the season probably. Away to Ashton Gate. I got my ticket and the one for my older daughter. So we will be there. I've never been to Ashton Gate, I have to say. I'm looking forward to it. A little bit trepidatious, but we're going on the camel bus. So if you're going, do stop by and say hi. And yeah, really, really looking forward to it. Obviously, I've done long coach trips in the past, and it can be a bit soulless. But shouldn't be too bad going up to Ashton Gate. So, and should be an absolute classic. And again, you'd think getting a point there would be a really, really fantastic result. So there we are, five games, as I say, in a fortnight. And really, by March the 16th, we could have our season decided. Really, if we've got 9 or 10, even 8, you know, you wouldn't want to rule us out. Less than that, I think you'd probably want to say that the chance had gone. But yeah, we get eight or more points from the next five games. I think we're right in there. And what a time to be a pilgrim. Just to say before I go, I'm trying to keep these short, but partly because there's only so much amount of wittering that you can cope with from me, but also because I believe in less is more, really. Leave them wanting more, as the old music hall adage was. But to say I'm going to be doing a separate, dedicated championship podcast that I hope you'll find time to listen to. The clever people at The Offside reckon they can host it all for me, so do have a look there. It's theoffside.com. And click on the links in the podcast and you should be able to find it, no trouble at all. Have a really, really, really fantastic weekend. If you're going to West Brom, be safe, be lucky, and above all, bring us back 3 points. Keep it going. Past days from